Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Evening, Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank with my co-host, Jim the Hobbo Hobgood. Unfortunately, the Wahoos lost to an opportunistic Louisiana Tech team on Scott Stadium's turf. We're going to analyze what went wrong for the Cavaliers and try to look for some positives. The Wahoos are now 2-3, and it's time to regroup for a huge game as Virginia travels down to Durham to face Duke. And Duke is hot. Duke is 4-1. We're going to review Saturday's wild finish, and certainly we're glad that you've joined us again.
That's right. The question of the night, how do you get 625 yards of offense and still lose? 16 penalties and 3 turnovers.
That's right. Can't give up the rock.
That's right. Well, we're, as always, glad you've joined us tonight. We, in spite of the results of Saturday, and the last three Saturdays for that matter, we have a really good show lined up for you tonight. We'll be joined shortly by former UVA running back Antonio Rice. So he can talk about the hot and cold offense. And we're also going to have in the second half hour former basketball player and current VAF executive director Dirk Kastra will be here to talk not only about the VAF but the entire athletic program. And then later in the show for our injury report, we'll have Dr. David Nedif of Ortho Virginia to talk about some of the injuries that the football Hoos are dealing with as they prepare for that trip down to Durham. Good old Wallace Wade Stadium on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff, I think?
3 p.m.
3 p.m. on Saturday. I think it's the Raycom game, so it is televised. But right now, our friend Chris Sill will tell you how to follow the show.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. So we encourage everyone, go ahead, post a comment on Facebook, search Who's Talking, and become a fan. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com, or if you want to call in, it's 345-0910. We encourage fans to download the iHeartRadio app to listen live on their smartphone. Your comments are welcome.
Well, Chris, as we discussed a few moments ago before Frank got here, he called me immediately after the game, and he was hot as a firecracker after the game. I don't know what it was like in the Virginia locker room, but you know, if Frank Maloney was in there, he would have given him a piece of his mind. He was not happy. That's why they call him Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney. I mean, he was dying hard on Saturday. But at any rate, it was tough. Was that an ACC officiating crew?
There was a lot of
laundry on the field.
That was the replacement refs from the old NFL the week before. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it was. And I'm not blaming the officials or anything.
I'm blaming the officials.
It was a lot of calls, and as Frank mentioned at halftime, unfortunately for Virginia, you know, they kept getting kickoffs. Louisiana Tech kicked it off a lot because they scored a lot, but we kept catching the ball on the goal line and running it back to about the 20-yard line and had a holding on every play, so we started every drive seemingly from the 10-yard line.
You know, the umpire for the game, Terrence Ramsey, obviously he's got something against UVA. He threw so many flags in that game. He's got tennis elbow from all the flags he threw.
Well, I should know, is Louisiana Tech in a league, or are they
They're in
the WAC.
Okay. And they are the Bulldogs. And the Bulldogs, let's give them credit, they're very fast.
They're talented.
Very, very agile. I thought they showed a lot of moxie late in the game when things were turning against them. We're going to come back to that later. I think right now, real quickly, we're going to jump to our is Antonio on the line?
I think so, if you want to introduce him.
All right, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on none other than Antonio Rice. He played running back at UVA, excellent ball carrier, very solid blocker, smart player, and we've enjoyed his visits in the last couple of years. And without further ado, let's bring him on. Antonio, are you there?
He will be momentarily. I think he is now.
I wasn't very fast.
So all right.
You need to be smart.
we were a click away.
Oh, We were one click away from getting you. There you go. Antonio, we're delighted to have you on. And, you know, I think before we get into it, UVA's made great strides in the last few years. The recruiting has gone very well. They're stocking up at all the key positions. The skilled players are faster. There's a lot more agility. Yet in these last couple of games, it seems like we're beating our head against a brick wall. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's every team is different. And so the 4 years that I played at UVA, every team was a little different. And so, you know, last year I think we snuck up on some folks. This year with the this is supposed to be the year. And you'd think that, you know, you'd come into a system and these kids would respond and execute, and it just hasn't happened. It's taken a while for the offense to gel and to create some chemistry on the offensive side of the ball. And so I just think at this particular time, and it typically it does take a little longer for the offense, we just have not been hitting on all cylinders. And so when I say all cylinders, I'm talking about, you know, our wonderful offensive tackles with Moses and Obuche. You know, it took them a while to kind of get things going. We're pretty young in the interior lines. And, you know, for me, just kind of looking at it and seeing the growth over the season and seeing some of the, you know, the recruits that we brought in, some of the playmakers, our playmakers have yet to really make in some good plays. Now, I got to preface this by saying over the weekend, some guys stepped up and made some plays. However, overall, I would say C-plus maybe for the playmakers.
I agree.
Yeah, Antonio, from a running back perspective, I think a lot of us going into the year were thinking maybe the offensive line was going to be a strength of this team. It's not necessarily proven to be that in the first five games. And, of course, the running game hasn't been exactly what Wahoo fans would like to see. So what's your explanation of the struggles they've had so far?
You know, so as a running back, you need a push up front, okay? You need a little bubble. You need some seams to be able to run to. And, you know, so you look at the Penn State game and the Georgia Tech game and the TCU game, the point of attack was basically on our side of the ball. There was no push, meaning no seams. Can't run the ball that way. You just can't. And so, as again, looking at some of the younger guys in the interior line, I think that's probably where the issue lies in terms of our O-line. And you're right, that was going to be the anchor because we have the tackles. The preseason, you know, All-Americans and all that good stuff. You got to be careful. Don't read those press clippings. You know, other teams might be reading them, but you better not be reading them. And again, it has taken the offensive line to start gelling. And this past weekend, they look pretty darn good. I have to say, they look pretty good.
You know, one thing I noticed during the game, and there were so many offensive plays running this game. I lost track. I took six pages of notes during the game. It seemed to me Virginia, particularly on the pitch toss and the long handoff, Virginia, the running backs looked like they were going to get 5 or 6 or 7 yards, but then they were getting tackled for like a 3-yard gain. And I felt like the tight ends and the tackles were doing a great job out there, and maybe that first pulling guard was getting out there, and they were clearing, they were sealing the end of the line. However, the pursuit was coming fast and furious, and it would negate all that solid blocking, and it would prevent what I would call the big runs. And were you able to spot that, or did you have other thoughts?
No, so I saw a couple of plays like that where, you know, they're basically just slow developing plays. And so what happens is it's all about pursuit and holding on to your blocks. And so, and a lot of times what these offensive line, what needs to happen is you hit your guy, then you go off to the next level. And so in a lot of that wasn't really happening. You really weren't getting to the next level, holding these guys up. And so, you know, I think what happens is the holes open up pretty quickly, and then they close pretty quickly as well. And it's a timing thing, and you got to be in that hole when it opens. And Tony Dorsett told me a long time ago when I was playing with the Cowboys, he says, Antonio, you have to run with your eyes. You know, run with instinct and run with your eyes. And so And so you really, as a running back, and the guys over the weekend, really, you know, you see the hole, you got to be in that hole, and then you got to be looking at second level and third level, thinking about making those guys miss, really looking to pop the big play. And unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Well, you know, both Kevin Parks and Perry Jones, those guys are excellent runners, and they were, at times, I felt like they were making all the right moves. I just somehow we're not sealing that backside, and that pursuit is cutting off that cutback move, particularly the one that Tiki Barber was so famous for, you know?
Right.
And Perry Jones and Kevin are looking for those cutbacks, but there's nothing there. They get 2 or 3 yards down the field, and there's a wave of blockers. Then they try to move back behind it, and all of a sudden there's like 2 or 3 guys there running right at them full speed.
Well, so, you know, I think a lot of time that cutback is available to runners late in the game. And so you stay onside.
Right.
And then you cut it back. And so, you know, a lot of times you take what the defense can give you, and then you can get yourself in trouble if you try to do too much.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, that 3 or 4 yard gain is perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's
and
all you're going to get, right?
Right. And then you start wearing down a defense, and then, you know, late third quarter, fourth quarter, then you can, you know, impose your will on them. And so that would be the ideal. So, and I think for this offense right now, I think patience is going to be a wonderful tool for them. If they can be just a little more patient running the football, I think it'll pay off dividends.
You know, today in the teleconference, Coach London spoke at length about the fact that he had sort of reorganized his depth chart for the offensive line, and he said everybody's being evaluated. And, you know, he talked about whoever had the best weeks of practice, whether it was Bowanko at center, Cascarano at guard, Connor Davis at guard, you know, then, and he mentioned all the players that were behind them. He talked about, you know, everybody's going to have to prove what they've got this week, and then the best people are going to be in there. A question I had for you, with the improved running in this game, quarterback play. In the first half, except for one pass that got tipped, it seemed to me, and by the way, Dominique Terrell, he wears jersey number 2, sports fans. He's now my Roberto Duran wide receiver of the NCAA. He's got hands of stone. And
I got to tell you.
To take that guy out. Find him some other position, because I think he's tipped 3 balls this year up in the air for INTs. But everybody else, it seemed like Rocco was in the zone, then that tip ball, and then right after that, Rocco lost his mojo. And
yeah. And
that's unfortunate. But I just want to hear your thoughts on the quarterback play.
Well, so I am a Rocco fan, so let me just put that out there. I think the kid, I like the kids who are the overachievers with the chips on their shoulder. And so I'm absolutely a fan, and you're absolutely right. You know, there was no issue with the quarterback play except for 3 passes, basically, you know, late. And so it's absolutely, so you call it mojo, it's concentration. And you said something about that last pick 6 was the fact that he threw to a spot. And plays are set up that way sometimes. You can throw to a spot, and then you rely on your receiver to be at that spot. Well, you need to still have vision down the field to see what if that spot is blanketed with, you know, with your opponent. And it was. And so that was just a terrible decision on his part. You know, yes, I get it. You throw to a spot, but you got to make sure that there's a window there. That window is open. And so there were a few things, like no one had any issue with Rocco's performance up until those, you know, back-to-back-to-back picks. And so I think at that particular time, he was trying to force the game versus letting the game come to him.
Yes.
And that's when he gets in trouble.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're visiting with former UVA running back Antonio Rice. Antonio, we're going to take you over the break, but before we do so, you know, a lot of comment about the quarterback controversy. I may go with Perry Jones. I think he may have thrown the best ball of the day on that first drive.
No doubt about it. I got to tell you that they call him Superman for a reason.
Now, did you ever?
Hold on. He's 2 for 2 now. 2 passes as a Cavalier running back for touchdowns.
Like the percentages. I think we need to get him in the mix.
Maybe we just bring him in the Wildcat and say, to heck with these other.
Now, Antonio, how were you on that option pass?
Yeah, I was pretty good. See, in high school, I used to play quarterback.
Ah.
And I remember George Welch giving me a couple of chances and to do the little halfback option. And I think I might have been let's see, a completed one and completely overthrew it to Keith Mattioli. He was wide open, too, for a touchdown. I got a little excited.
Yeah, I noticed where you dropped that Tony Dorsett on us a few minutes ago. I may be the one in the studio here that knows Tony's from Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, a good Western Pennsylvania guy.
Fastest running back of his era.
Absolutely. Era.
It's my show.
Oh. It was.
It still is.
We have to be grammatically correct here. But anyway, Antonio, can you stay with us? We got to go to our first break. Hang with us a couple of minutes if that's okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Antonio Rice will be back on the other side of the break. Stay with us. You're listening to Who's Talking.